So you've discussed how the United States incarcerates more individuals than any other country in the world and at the highest rate worldwide, and that there's a lot of variance across different U.S. states and how the policies play a role in that. Can you just touch on some different policies in states like Louisiana that have a high rate versus states like Maine with a lower rate, and how those policies are working?
There's a lot of factors that go into a state having either a high or a low rate of incarceration. A big variable is sentencing law. States that have mandatory minimum sentences, so that if you're convicted of a crime, you must be sentenced to X number of years. Obviously, that is going to, over the long term, increase the prison population. By the same token, states that don't allow prisoners to earn time off of their sentences for good behavior, that's going to also, over time, increase your prison population. It's obviously better for everyone if prisoners have an incentive to obey the rules, to go to school, to work, to behave in a positive way. And some systems allow prisoners to earn time off their sentences if they engage in those positive behaviors. Others don't, or it's only a very small amount of time you can earn off. And that, over time, is going to drive up the population. So it's usually a combination of variables that lead to the significant differences we have among states in their incarceration rates.
So in terms of Delaware's policy, where are some of the areas that you see the state falling short?
Well, in Delaware, it's what we call a unified system, which means that pretrial detainees, people who haven't been convicted of anything yet, but they're awaiting trial, they are also, they're in the same system as people who have been convicted. And one of the things that drives up rates of pretrial detention is cash bail. Cash bail is locking people up because they're poor. It's really that simple. Because if you have, if your bail is set at $1,000, if you can afford to pay $1,000, then you get to go home and wait for your trial at home. If you're poor and you can't afford $1,000, you go to jail. So a lot of states around the country are restricting or eliminating the use of cash bail, and that has an effect in bringing down the pretrial detained population. If the person doesn't pose a risk of violence or a serious risk of flight, there's no reason to keep someone in jail simply because they can't afford to post bail. Other what we call debtor's prison projects, locking people up, sending people to jail simply because they can't afford to pay fees or fines that have been imposed by courts. That also drives up our incarceration numbers in this country, and that's also a practice that, in addition to being unconstitutional, is just nonsensical. We jail people who don't need to be jailed. We disrupt their lives. They lose their jobs. They may lose their children. There's just no reason for it, and it needs to stop. Another variable in Delaware is that, for whatever reason, people serve longer sentences in Delaware. Whether that's a result of sentencing laws or other variables, I don't know. But we do know that people who go to prison in Delaware, on average, stay there longer than in many other states.
And going back to the cash bail, I understand New Jersey has almost eliminated that, and they've been seeing a decline in their prison population as opposed to Delaware, where it's staying steady. Is that, do you think, one of the main factors of that?
I'm not intimately familiar with New Jersey, and New Jersey has done a lot of things to bring down its prison population. But Washington, D.C., where I live, no longer uses cash bail at all. So it's certainly possible to run a court system without cash bail and to rely on other means of ensuring that people show up for their trial.
How many states, to your knowledge, have done away with the cash bail system?
I believe there are one or two, but it's also been done in other jurisdictions, like, as I said, Washington, D.C., technically not a state, but certainly a large city that functions perfectly well without using cash bail at all. And it's an area of significant interest and legislative reform going on all around the country. And in Delaware, there have been some small steps to at least reform the use of cash bail. So that's an encouraging sign.
And the staffing, understaffing was one of the key findings of this investigation, and Governor John Carney has proposed some steps to rectify that. But what, from a national perspective, what would be your recommendations to address the understaffing?
Well, the most important recommendation is just to lock up fewer people. Delaware has a very high incarceration rate. There's no reason that it needs to lock up so many people. And one way to need less prison staff is to have fewer prisoners. So that's the long-term solution. That's the permanent solution. In the interim, there need to be enough correction staff and other staff to operate the prisons in a safe and humane and constitutional manner. And it's going to be expensive, but it has to be done.
I know cameras, that was another plan, and a special assistant to kind of oversee this process. Have you seen other states implement these recommendations successfully?
Well, the cameras are a positive thing because for the same reason that police cameras at least can be a positive thing, because it provides an objective record of what actually happened if there is an incident. And there's reason to believe that just the presence of the cameras has a positive effect on behavior, both by the corrections officer and by the prisoner. The knowledge that you're being recorded may make people behave in a more restrained manner. But that doesn't really get to the fundamental problem of not having enough staff. In prison, prisoners are typically not able to move around unescorted. They typically have to be watched most or all of the time, and there's good reasons for that. But it's very staff intensive, and you have to have enough staff, or every single aspect of prison operation breaks down. The health care, the visiting, security, food service, everything.
Have you seen any states that have completely reformed or at least started to reform the prison successfully and take steps in that direction?
Well, one thing California did, California significantly cut its prison population because the U.S. Supreme Court said it had to. But what that shows is that it is possible. When a system and state officials are properly motivated, they can accomplish great things. And the California prison population is much lower than it was just a few years ago. So I think that's an encouraging example, that we're not talking about rocket science. We're not talking about something that's physically impossible. It has been done. It can be done.
Do you foresee a Supreme Court case based on Delaware's situation?
Well, Delaware is fortunately not yet at the point of extreme crowding that California was when the Supreme Court ruled, and let's hope that Delaware never gets to that point. It's always best if elected officials, if corrections professionals solve their own problems. But if they don't, and if human rights and health and safety and human decency are suffering, then the federal courts have to step in. And the ACLU, I think we've proven in the 90-plus years of our existence, we will not hesitate to go to court if it's necessary to preserve the lives and safety of detained and incarcerated people.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add about work in Delaware?
Delaware has serious problems. This recent tragic incident was really a catastrophic failure of a prison's most fundamental mission, which is to keep people safe. The only good news is that as a result of this tragedy, people are paying attention to Delaware's prison problems, and let's hope that that results in some meaningful reform and safer prisons for prisoners and staff alike.